Welcome to The Comeback with Boomerang Healthcare, your podcast for relief, recovery, and restoration. I'm Dr. Peter Abachi.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Guzet. As doctors, we know healing isn't just about treatment. It's about having the right tools, mindset, and support to move you forward.
You can have pain, you might be injured, or even hurting on the inside. With all that you got going on, you can still have a really great life. And that's what we're here for. This is The Comeback. Let's get started. I got to say, I think if I look back, the most complicated patients that I've seen, many of them have traumatic brain injuries as part of the problem. And it creates so many challenges and complexities to the right assessments, the right evaluations, and then putting the right treatment plans together. And, you know, what really stands out is for a lot of these patients that I've worked with who've had complicated head injuries, it's life. You know, life happens. You get hit in the head by a softball, the golf cart flips over, you know, bad car accident. Those are the situations that we often see that bring us to those kind of complicated clinical challenges. And that's why it's great that we have some experts to kind of break it down for us and help us figure it all out. Dr. Murad Nasiri is a neurologist, an interventional pain specialist. He's a researcher. He's got extensive experience with what we're talking about today, complex neurologic and chronic pain conditions. He's spearheaded the traumatic brain injury program for Boomerang Healthcare. He's been in treatment and involved in all kinds of programs, and he's had a lot of great success. And he's gonna talk to us about that. And you know, he's gonna also talk about some interesting advancements in treatment, things that I'm excited to learn about. And who else we got with us today?
So we have Angela Malatesta, who has her Master's of Science in Nursing from UCLA, as well as her MSN, Master's of Science in Nursing from Samuel Merritt University. I've had the pleasure of working with her for years in one of our clinics, and she's been working pain management for 14 years. And is also involved in our rehabilitation programs over the past several years, including our TBI program. She has taken specialized training certifications for concussions and mild TBI and has been closely involved with this launch and development of the TBI program. So we're excited to have you both here today. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Welcome, guys. Hey, let's tee it off. Tell us about some real life situations that you've worked through, and then we'll kind of dive into some of the science behind what you guys are doing.
I had a TBI, a mild concussion myself years ago. I was in a bike accident, and I was in the middle of my training. I was in a bike accident, and after the accident, I didn't really realize that I didn't think about it that could have been a traumatic brain injury involved, but there were a lot of simple things that during my days, during my work at home, people were noticing, which was different than my normal. And it wasn't until my supervisor and attending, who I was working very closely with, he's a neurosurgeon, and he brought it up to my attention. Hey, you know, after the accident you had, how do you think these things have changed for you? Do you notice any difference? And that was kind of when I came to realization, okay, you know, I had this injury and I have to pay attention to it. And I was really lucky from the accident that I didn't have any, you know, worse injuries. But that was, you know, it was after.
So tell us a little bit about how did the accident happen?
Silly thing. I just flipped over the handlebar on my bike going downhill.
I've really done it bad. Too. My face was black for like 3 months.
My face was swollen for like literally three. And I mean, now looking back at the pictures, we're up to like 3 years past the injury, but I can still tell like my face was really swollen. I have all the scars on my face and, you know, everything.
Now everyone knows. What kind of symptoms were you having?
So I was definitely a little bit more, a lot more irritable, it was much easier for me to get, you know, annoyed by simple things that normally wouldn't have annoyed me. My patience definitely had decreased significantly. My vision, I was a lot more sensitive to light. So I had to wear shades, even using computers for a while. I had to wear sunglasses and other things, fatigue, things that normally wouldn't have made me as tired would make me tired. I would still categorize on the umbrella of fatigue, but like even like mental fatigue, things that I could easily
you were dealing with the fatigue while you were doing your training.
Correct.
Your neurology training.
The irony is not wasted on any of us here, I'm sure.
No, definitely. A lot of times when I see my patients, I use this analogy for them. If you're an athlete or if you're a marathon runner and you end up breaking an ankle, you put it in a cast, everyone sees it. Nobody is expecting you to even walk, let alone go run a marathon. However, when you have a brain injury, everyone sees the same person. After, you know, the superficial and surface injuries recover, everyone sees the same person. So us as an individual have the same expectation from ourselves to be able to perform in the same capacity, the same as people around us. Everyone sees the same person who was like two months ago doing all this phenomenal job. And now they are lacking. They are slower. They are less efficient in getting their work done. So nobody sees behind this cranial vault and see what's happening inside there and the injury and all the, you know, bruising on the brain cells or the damage that has happened, which for the least, at least, it needs a lot of time, a lot of rest, a lot of reduction in the stressors to give it the best chance of recovery. Nobody sees that. So everyone, the expectation is this high, but the reality is the brain is not able to function on that level just yet. It needs all that casting time and healing period to get through, to be able to get back to that marathon running.
How long did it take you to recover from the injury?
I mean, right then, every day I thought I was recovered, but now in retrospect, I think it probably about like 2.5-3 years for me to get back to the same capacity that I was.
Well, hey, let's kind of dive into, first of all, how do you tell the difference between just a bump on the head and a real traumatic brain injury? Maybe you guys kind of break down how we figure that out for people who are wondering how badly they might be injured.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we need to make sure that the mechanism of injury is consistent with, you know, having a traumatic brain injury, you know, having a little bump versus having something like a whiplash injury. It's different, you know? And then additionally, traumatic brain injuries typically come with physical symptoms like headache. You can have dizziness. You can have psychological symptoms like the irritability, anxiety, depression. Your sleep can be quite affected. And then the cognitive stuff is, you know, feeling, like Dr. Nasiri said, feeling just slower, right? Thinking takes a lot more juice, a lot more energy to get things going, and people can feel very foggy.
Yeah, that I always use the analogy that, you know, people, it feels like you're living in a slow motion. You're used to the normal flow of life, and when your brain is not functioning at that capacity, everything feels like slow motion. And interesting enough, every time I bring up that analogy too with the patients, it's like, yeah, exactly. That's how I feel. I feel like the things around me are not as, you know, at the pace that they used to be.
I will say that I've also seen that, you know, just the brain fog that patients report. And I love that you touched upon the invisible illness component where it's not visible. So now not only are they going through this brain fog and the psychological component of the sleep deprivation and the mood changes, but now not everybody understands why. And so I'm curious about how you would approach treating somebody who's going through this and in the thick of it. What would be some of the interventions or some of the treatments that you've utilized?
So I want to step back just for a second for, you know, all the symptoms that Angela went over. These are all like tangled up with each other. Like, you know, someone who has pain, they're not able to sleep adequately. Lack of sleep makes them fatigue, slows down their recovery, and it makes them more anxious, makes them more angry, irritable. And then it's just a vicious cycle of all these things happening over and over and over again. And on top of it, when there's lack of that education or insight for the patient to know that, okay, you know, I'm injured, they look at themselves in the mirror, they see the same person, they have the same expectation as they used to be able to perform like months ago. And it's very important to have a very detailed conversation with a patient, try to help them understand what they're going through, help them understand that this is normal for someone after having a brain injury to feel the way they are feeling, and help them to have the insight. So when they are going through these frustrating periods, they understand, okay, you know, I need to slow down. I need to give myself, my brain, the best chance of recovery. I need to avoid any major stressors as much as possible. I mean, life is full of stressors, especially these days, but we got to be mindful of what can be done to slow all of that and give the brain the best chance to recover. Also, I'd say to also kind of look at it as an investment for the future, because right now, you know, every one of us is in the midst of like all the responsibilities we have in life, including all the people who get injured at work from a, you know, car accidents or like anything that causes a traumatic brain injury, sports. And they're in the midst of that excitement of whatever is happening in their life. And it's really hard for them to slow down. But it's important to understand, okay, you know, this is the time to slow down, to give your brain the best chance to recover so you can get back on track 6 months, a year, 2 years down the line. Otherwise, this vicious cycle is going to continue going and you'll get stuck where you are, or, you know, actually slows down the process of healing.
So it turns out, you know, traumatic head injuries, it's one of the leading causes of death and disability worldwide. About 50,000 people in America die from traumatic head injuries every year. This is a huge problem. There's millions of Americans, about 11 million Americans, struggling with disability from traumatic brain injuries on a daily basis. If you're worried about what to do, you know, where do you go? What kind of tests do you need? You know, where do you start, you know, if something's happened to you?
Well, you know, I would say start by going to your primary doctor, you know, and getting an evaluation. The tricky part is a lot of times with traumatic brain injuries, your brain MRI is normal, you know? So just because you have a normal brain MRI doesn't mean you don't have that collection of symptoms that we talked about earlier.
Say that again for everyone.
you can have a traumatic brain injury and have a totally normal MRI.
We're talking about conventional MRI studies that are done. Yeah. They can be completely normal. There are specific studies that can be done, which nowadays there's more correlation between those findings and abnormalities resulted from TBIs, but generally speaking, the conventional MRIs that are done, they look for the most part normal.
What are some good tests to do?
So there are fiber tracking MRIs, there are DTI MRI sequences that can be done. Those are more specific for finding axonal injuries, but so that they can help with making diagnosis, or at least like having a clue of what's going on. On the other hand, from what you were mentioning, like, you know, people who unfortunately end up losing their life over this thing, that's a severe traumatic brain injury they get, that as a result they, you know, end up having intracranial hemorrhages or damage to critical structures which are not compatible with continuing their life, unfortunately. But kind of mid to lower end of the spectrum are people who end up having TBIs or traumatic brain injuries, and they end up living with the sequela of the injury. Sometimes, you know, it's not possible for it to have 100% recovery. There are some midline structures in the brain that can get affected. Those are important markers to look at, especially doing sequential MRIs like right after the injury and down the line to see how those structures change. And those sometimes can indicate irreversible changes, irreversible injuries. So not every traumatic brain injury who survives will fully recover, unfortunately.
I am curious about learning more about those that have more mild traumatic brain injuries, but a series of them. So I will share, I am a mother of boys, and I feel like it is their daily goal to find new ways to hurt themselves. They're twins and they love a challenge. And so one of them recently discovered flag football, and I am trying to be the cool, supportive mom, but deep down praying they take up chess instead. What are your thoughts about youth sports and just the you know, prevalence and the increase that we're seeing with, you know, a series of concussions, even if mild? I'd love to learn more about that.
Absolutely. That's, again, along the lines that Angela was talking about, the injury, the mechanism of accident or injury is important, but having sequential injuries, I mean, for someone who has had only one TBI through the same mechanism as someone has had, like, you know, three TBIs previously, the outcomes could be significantly different. Another analogy I use when we're seeing patients with Angela is, you know, your brain cells are on top of a cliff, and when an injury happens, they kind of get pushed to the edge, and now they need time to have to get back to their safety zone. Now, say before they have reached that safety zone, if there's another impact, that can push them closer to the tip or even make some of them fall. So the recovery might be more limited and or even take longer for it to happen after multiple injuries.
And I think something to consider when you have a child playing contact sports and they're having sequential injuries is it taking longer between recovery periods, you know, because those brain cells are taking longer to walk from the edge, like Dr. Nasiri was saying. So is it taking longer to recover fully between each injury? And is it taking less impact? Because, you know, we've seen things where it's like the first impact is, you know, like a soccer header, you know, you bonk head, and then they'll have similar symptoms with less impact. And so that's also concerning. It becomes a question, you know, and I think this is a discussion between, you know, the whoever's treating it and the parents and the kid, whether or not it's, you know, if they're having these, you know, sequential injuries and they're taking longer to recover, whether a retirement from that sport is recommended. And it can be hard because if these kids are playing at a high level and they're, you know, this is college, this is their future, it can be a really tricky conversation, but it's an important one.
Absolutely. And so I am curious what advice you might give to parents, an individual in a contact sport. What signs should they be looking out for? And anything they can do to kind of, you know, decrease the odds of having a TBI?
So most important thing, I would say, taking all the safety measures, say, you know, riding a bike, kids have to have their helmets on doing the sports that need any other protection. They use that, not to take it lightly. And also be mindful of an injury. When the injury happens, making sure it's properly addressed, properly evaluated, and also proper time is given for it to recover. And if the injury was significant enough, if the recovery has not completely happened to 100% of recovery, the retirement is an important conversation to have. It's very hard to keep the kids or, you know, even adults, teenagers, whoever, away from the sports, from the excitement of the activities they want to get involved in. But if unfortunately an accident happens, then, you know, you have to reconsider the options.
When in doubt, sit them out.
Absolutely.
The sideline assessments that are done include things like, well, in the immediate sideline, you want to make sure that the cervical spine is stable, things like that. But the assessments that are done to assess for concussion include testing like memory and recall. Balance is a big one. And then, you know, signs and symptoms of headache, blurry vision, that kind of thing. So keeping an eye out for the improvement of those symptoms. And then making sure that, you know, they're resting and, you know, not going back into contact contact sports until they're fully cleared.
Well, just like the young people are commonly, you know, dealing with head injuries, especially teenage boys, which I guess Sarah's enjoying that now a little bit. It also seems like another age group that has a lot of head injuries is the over 75 group. Maybe you guys could tell us a little bit about why that is.
In those situations, a lot of it becomes the balance issues. You know, a lot of the elderly patients, they have other comorbidities which interferes with their vision, with their peripheral sensation, with their proprioceptive sensation. And all of those can interfere with their balance and increase the risk of them having falls, having injuries and traumas to their brain. Also, another thing that happens as we age, the size of the brain shrinks, the skull remains the same, and the brain is hanging in that cranial vault connected by tiny veins. And those are very fragile, and especially if they are under more stretch, there's higher risk for them to rupture with even smaller impacts and can lead to subdural hematomas. Those can be small leaks in the brain that kind of gradually accumulate in the cranial vault and put pressure on the brain and can cause injuries as such. Also, the simple way to put it is the brain's reserve reduces as we age. So the same injury that could have happened, say, like, you know, in mid-30s, 40s, and brain has a lot of capacity to recover, the brain doesn't have that capacity at the age of 75, 80. So it's much the threshold for sustaining a long-lasting sequela of a traumatic brain injury at an older age could be much more difficult for the brain to recover from that, just because it doesn't have the reserve, even if there's no bleeds.
I am curious about the working population. As we know, there's a little bit of a correlation in certain professions are higher risk. And I'm curious if you can talk a little bit about that, as well as any gender differences that you might see.
The professions that we see a lot, construction, for obvious reasons, right? Any kind of job where there's heavy equipment, but you'll even see it, like there can be a simple slip and fall. You know, so it doesn't need, like, you don't need to be working in a construction job. It could be an office job where you're getting up and then you hit your head on something because you didn't know that there was a shelf right there. So it doesn't happen to me.
Don't you think a lot of food service workers slip, you know, slippery kitchens they work in, something spilled on the floor, they fall, they're in a tight space, they hit their head. It seems like that group gets a lot of head injuries.
I think reality of it has been you're seeing these patients in and out. I mean, we see at least 6-7 new TBI patients, Angela and I, we evaluate every week. And the stories you hear is all across the board, to be honest. I don't have any data to say what kind of occupation poses the highest risk, but we've heard all different sort of stories. I mean, literally simple thing as getting up and hitting their head on the under the cubby door or the chair under the table, all the way to having a massive, you know, box or bucket of cement falling on their head, or, you know, even like, you know, heavy machinery equipment falling on their head. And, you know, obviously the impact of the accidents are different. A lot of it depends on their background, on the previous injuries and the previous condition they were in as to how they end up after that injury, but we have heard all different sorts of stories all across the board.
And I think that's an important point, what you just said there. It can happen to anyone at any time.
Absolutely.
You know, there is 1 out of 60 people in America living with some sort of permanent brain-related trauma, you know, and the aftermath of that. And so when you think about it, the frequency really is quite high, and it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care if you're, you know, working in a doctor's office or if you're in construction. And it can have lifelong impacts.
I want to piggyback on that. Car accidents. We all, you know, get into cars every day. And, you know, car accidents is a big can be a big cause of TBI.
Yeah, huge, huge. Yeah.
And then there's the military, right? I don't know if any of you guys have any experience working in VA systems at all, but the impact and the long-term consequences on our military personnel, it's huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Peter. And you know, that's a great point that you bring up. And it is huge. I worked in VA system and I've seen that. And, you know, along with a lot of other injuries that happen at, you know, to the veterans who, which have happened to the veterans, which may not be as tangible to regular people who have not been in service or who have not been through those circumstances. That kind of brings up another point, which I actually wanted to mention. In the treatment of a lot of patients with traumatic brain injuries, being in the military, being veterans or not, as we were talking earlier, it's not very tangible for regular people to see why someone has a brain injury or why they're acting the same, they're acting differently after a brain injury. But an important thing, kind of segue into our TBI program, where we bring these patients together, they sit in a classroom with a bunch of other people who are going through the same exact process, who are feeling the same, who are feeling the same in a sense that, you know, other people are not appreciating what they have gone through.
First time they have somebody to talk to who knows what they're going through, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Feels the same as going through the same problems. And then it gives them a, you know, wonderful environment to feel, okay, something bad has happened to me, but it's not just me. I mean, other people are going through this and we can make it through together. And the same thing in the VA system. If we are more, you know, appreciative of these situations, we can take huge advantage of that environment to help all these people to heal and recover and get better.
I wonder if you can give us a little bit more context about what the TBI rehabilitation program includes, because the group milieu is definitely one very important component, but I think it'd be good for individuals to know what are some of the treatments that are utilized in that.
The TBI program that we run has several different components. There's vestibular therapy, which addresses a lot of the balance issues. We also have, they're working on their neck mobility and headaches. They teach about nutrition because it's important what we put in our bodies and how that affects, you know, inflammation and things like
how
that.
How much kale do you have to eat, Angela?
All the kale. All the kale, all day.
All the kale, okay.
There's classes taught by mental health professionals to teach about how to deal with things like stress, anxiety, how to, you know, sleep hygiene, how to improve sleep. Sleep, I want to say, is one of the most important things that we try to work on at the beginning, because if you don't get good sleep, then everything is harder. There's Tai Chi. I teach some classes about some different, you know, I talk about vestibular therapy or, you know, the vestibular system, the autonomic nervous system. So I think it's really great because TBI is a constellation of symptoms and you can treat each one piecemeal, which is helpful. But I think it has more lasting effect when you can treat them all, you know, at the same time. And then go through a group where you see other people going through the same things. And it they all help lift each other up. And it's beautiful to see.
And I'm curious, any advice for family members or caregivers of an individual that's going through treatment and through the program and, you know, trying to maneuver their life with these symptoms? Any advice that you give?
Support and acknowledgement of what they're going through. Because, I mean, naturally, it's the patient who's suffering from TBI, and not only they themselves are suffering, but because of, you know, all the things that they're not capable of doing while they're going through recovery, it probably puts a burden on their family members as well. And, you know, building that insight for the patient is important, but also being able to educate the family members to understand what this person is. I'm saying, like, you know, if someone has their ankle in the cast, nobody's going to ask them to run a marathon. It's the same thing. They have to be mindful that this person is injured, is not able to function in the same capacity. So, give them the support them, give them the best chance to recover rather than adding to their stressors and frustration and you know, all the things that can interfere with their proper healing and efficient healing.
I also think it starts with the education of the injured person in understanding what their symptoms are, because sometimes you might not know, like, oh, I've been cranky, like this is because of TBI, you know? And so being able to communicate that with their family members so that they're not, they know that they're not like angry at them. You know, this isn't because of you. This is something that I'm going through and it's a process. And then that way they can, you know, give their support as well.
You know, one of the challenges, I think, working with a TBI patient is there's so many different disciplines that are often needed to help with their recovery. Sometimes you need speech therapy, you need vision therapy, you know, you need to see an ophthalmologist, you need, you know, vestibular therapy with balance and vertigo and all these different things. How do you guys, you know, give advice to people who are trying to figure out where do they go for help? What are some of the specialties out there that people need to work with, and how do you coordinate that or bring it together?
So yeah, as you mentioned, it's absolutely a multidisciplinary approach to evaluating these patients as well as treating these patients. So as part of our evaluation prior to getting the patients to the TBI program, and I actually think like any physician or any clinic managing patients with TBI, they should have resources from all these different disciplines to be able to address the patient's issues. But anyways, when we are doing our evaluation, we go through every group of these symptoms and try to evaluate and assess how severely those are affected in that individual patient. Try to make recommendations as far as their evaluations by ophthalmology, by ENT physician, by, you know, sending them to vestibular therapy, sending them to, you know, getting all the sort of imaging studies that are needed, addressing their painful conditions. Because a lot of times, I mean, TBI is not just an isolated injury to the brain. A lot of times, as mechanisms of that injury, they've had injuries to your neck, they've had, you know, whiplash injuries, or they, you know, they might also have like back pain, low back pain, leg pain, knee pain, shoulder pain from the accident they were involved in. And if those aspects are not addressed properly, as simply as, you know, someone has back pain, which prevents them from sleeping properly at night, and they also have TBI, they're not able to get adequate sleep to be, you know, to give their brain the best chance of recovery. But the main source of interference with their sleep is because of their back. So that needs to be addressed properly. So it's a multidisciplinary approach. And we try to go through all those and identify the areas that they are suffering from and make recommendations as far as, you know, who to evaluate them and how to treat them so they can have the best chance for recovery, especially as they're going through the TBI program.
Phenomenal. It sounds like, you know, for patients who are at Boomerang, they're fortunate enough to get, you know, potentially a referral so that they do get that really thorough evaluation, and that you can find, right, whether it be a multidisciplinary or an interdisciplinary approach to treat them. But I am curious, it sounds like for individuals who may be in other healthcare systems, they really need to advocate for themselves to make sure that they are being sent the correct referrals and seeing the right specialists. Any advice you give there?
Gosh, well, I think when you go into your appointments, make a list of what's, you know, important to you, because it can be easy to forget when you go in, you know, like I have all these things, and make sure you communicate with your provider, like I'm having these symptoms, you know, what are the next steps? So I think coming in with a plan and making sure, keeping a list, I would say my first piece of advice.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the memory problem is an issue they have. Distractibility, lack of attention, those are issues that can result from TBI. So it's important if they can, they go into the visit and they're in the middle of a conversation with the physician, a lot of things can easily get forgotten. But if you have a list of all their symptoms, they go in and they make sure they discuss all of those and, you know, request for all of those to be evaluated, because any combination of these symptoms could be a sequela of the TBI. And they could interfere with their complete recovery. So the sooner they're addressed, the better chance of recovery and outcomes.
What are some new treatments coming around or that you guys are working with that you're excited about?
As far as One of the symptoms the patients suffer from a lot of times when they have had TBS is headaches. So there are a variety of different treatments for headaches, traditionally with a lot of different medications, older generation medications, even like, you know, migraine medications have been used. But now we have a lot of CGRP receptor treatment options, which do a lot better in treating headaches. There are also, if the headaches are more, end up being more chronic or refractory to treatment options, there are also interventional treatments, including neuromodulation, that can, you know, we can trigger or we can stimulate a variety of different nerves, occipital nerve or supraorbital nerve. We can even like medial branches, upper cervical medial branches, those are all targets that can help with reducing symptoms of headaches or even like treating it.
So for people listening who maybe aren't familiar with some of those terms, you're talking about some special procedures to kind of help with the whiplash injury side of it that maybe is contributing to the headaches?
Absolutely. So simply put, there are tiny branches of nerves in the upper neck area that also go up to the brain, to the skull, and provide some innervation there. And when those nerves are irritated or aggravated, they can trigger headache symptoms that usually travel from the back of the head, coming even to the front. And you know, just treating the headache in a conventional ways with the medication and all that might not be sufficient. We will have to go to the root cause of the problem and target the areas that are causing the origin of pain. And once those are taken care of, oftentimes it helps with recovery of headache symptoms.
And I want to circle back to when you go to your physician, try to note the location of your headaches, because that'll actually give a lot of information about where it could be potentially coming from and what kind of headache it is. You know, migraines can be like one-sided behind the eye. It could be coming from arthritic joints in the neck, or it could be coming, like Dr. Nasiri was saying, from that occipital nerve. So thinking about when you have the headaches, what part of your head is located can give a lot of information about the best way to treat it.
That, absolutely. And that also frequency of the headaches, triggers for the headaches, those are all important factors that can help distinguish different types of headaches. And a lot of times also another thing that I've seen patients with TBI is they've had some old history of headaches of different kinds, and they have, you know, they had previously been treated or subsided, and then after the traumatic brain injury, the same type of headaches again comes back. So those are important to identify, because a lot of times we hear everyone, you know, patients come in and say, oh, I have migraines, I've been having migraines since the accident. But not every one of these headaches are migraines. There are a whole list of different types of headaches they can get. So it's important to identify those and treat it properly. It's important to treat under the same umbrella.
So it sounds like a pain diary. So it's not just, you know, the location, but also to your point, like the frequency, the symptoms, the severity. So a pain diary or pain journal of some sort would be really helpful. You know, as we get close to closing up here, I'm curious if there's any other recommendations that you have to any of our listeners.
Protect your head, wear helmets. Can I share just a couple of success stories from our program? Because I think
would love that. Let's end on a high note. Yeah.
So there's two that come to mind. One of them, there was a guy and we did his evaluation and he's like, I want to do this program. I don't need it. I'm fine. But he had some balance deficits, some cognitive deficits that we uncovered in his evaluation. And we requested the program for him and he ended up doing the program. And by the end, he was so happy and so grateful to have done it. And then at the end, he actually ended up going back to work, which is amazing. And so, and those are some of my favorite ones where people come in a not believer, you know, are some favorite ones. And then another one was this young lady who was quite debilitated. She wasn't doing a lot and she made great progress with the program. And at the end of graduation, her family came in and her family told the team, we thought we were losing her. you know, and with you guys' help, she's coming back to us. And like, if that's not what this is about, I don't know what is. You know, I think with TBI, your world can become very small. And my hope is that with the proper treatment, we can help people live their lives again.
That's wonderful. That's so wonderful. Hey, for people who might be interested in seeing you or connecting with you or finding you or hearing what you have to say for their own situations or their family members, how can folks find you guys?
So we are part of Boomerang Healthcare, and Angela and I mostly work in our Walnut Creek office in the Bay Area. I do cover some other clinics in Brentwood and San Francisco as well. And, you know, Boomerang Healthcare is where we are, and you know, Walnut Creek is a city.
Yeah, you can look on the Boomerang website, boomeranghc, I think, .com. And then we're listed under the providers there. You can reach out to us that way.
Thank you both for being here today. This was so informative and so helpful. And I think a great reminder to everyone how it can impact any of us or any of our families at any time, and how important it is to take, you know, better care of ourselves and our heads. So thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. It was very much fun, and absolutely enjoyed talking about one of our most favorite topics.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.